seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and the 20th verse. The book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and the 20th verse. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The book of the Revelation is a very deep and profound part of God's holy word. Our dear John, who knew what it was to live ever so close to his dear Redeemer, and he knew what it was for the Holy Spirit to reveal the vital things of God to him by divine revelation. And oh, what a blessed thing if the Lord were to favour us with those divine revelations. There's a good prayer in one of our hymns, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And you know, I believe once the Lord puts his grace, his fear, his work begun in the sinner's heart, that'll be their prayer. They need continually the Lord to reveal himself. The world and man by nature sees no beauty in Christ, has no desire for him. But once the Lord puts faith in the sinner's heart, faith will ever want to have divine revelations of the dear Redeemer. The Lord is a sovereign how he reveals himself to his people. With Saul of Tarsus, he revealed himself to him on that Damascus road, didn't he? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know, how would you stand and how would I if the Lord spoke that to us? He fell under it and trembled before the majesty of heaven. And oh, that revelation, you know, of the Lord, he never forgot. But that wasn't the only time the Lord was to reveal himself to him. There were many times throughout the dear apostle's life after that where the Lord revealed himself to him in times of great trouble, times of great distress, times of deep affliction, times when he was persecuted. But oh, to have a little view, we think particularly as we come into this season of the year, as I tried to pray in prayer that we might have a little glimpse of those agonies and sufferings the dear Redeemer endured. And have that sweet assurance, and this is the vital thing, that he suffered, bled and died for us personally. Each shall say, for me. And then ought to have a little view of the dear Redeemer on Calvary, him reveal himself there. And I'll tell you what the effect of it will be. If I know anything about it personally, it'll melt the hardest marbles of your, the marble of your heart. It'll really humble the sinner in the dust. They'll have to say, Lord, why me? But then to have a little view of him rising on the resurrection morn. You think how glorious that day was when he rose triumphant. The dear disciples, the dear women couldn't contain the joy, could they? And may the Lord favour us at this season with a taste of it. Well, as we stood by the bed of our dear friend in Bethesda the other on Friday morning, I thought, you know, each one of us have got to come to that point where we must leave this earth. But the vital thing is with it, how is it with your soul and with mine? Are we prepared? Are we ready for the Lord to come? Well, thinking upon that yesterday, the Lord seemed to drop this word into my heart, particularly the last part of the text, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we venture with it this morning. But just a few things to introduce the subject. First of all, John, in this sacred chapter, had a beautiful view into heaven of what it would be to be there. And the Holy Spirit lifted him right above all the things of this earth to have a glimpse within the veil. And he speaks in the early part of the chapter so much of it, doesn't he? He says, as we begin the chapter, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on every side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there, shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And then this beautiful word, and there shall be no night there. Whenever I read that word, you know, I think of what my dear late grandfather said, that his brother, Uncle Joe Field, that was pastor at Western Inn, then at Sedgley, when he was in the police force in London, he had to deal with some most solemn cases. And he said, you know, they brought him, many of these things, brought him into ever so much darkness. And he said, oh, that darkness really troubled him. And he said, one day there was to be a funeral at one of our chapels, and was off that day from his duty, and he thought, well, I'll go. He knew the person quite well. And he said, the dear servant of God took for his text at the funeral these words, and there shall be no night there. And the dear man, he said, I felt just to be in the night in so much darkness. And he said, when he announced the text for that funeral address, he said, my heart sank really. But he said, I just felt I was in the night, in the darkness. He said, but the dear servant of God spoke about the life of that person that had been taken, and how many nights and darkness they walked through in this earth. And he said, this is the path the child of God will have to walk. The days of darkness shall be many. But then he came to the glories of heaven. And you think of it this morning. I thought about when we awoke, you know, and it was dark about 4:30 this morning, just beginning to get light a little. And I thought, you know, if we're spared to the night tonight, once this day is over, the night will come. No man can hinder it. The Lord brings it. And so he does in the hearts of his people and in their pathways. There will be the day when they will have light, but there will be the night when they will have darkness. But think of the joy of heaven. There shall be no night there. No more darkness. No more sorrow. We read it in chapter 7. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now the vital thing is, have you and have I the prospect of that blessed day where there shall be no night there? And dear Uncle Joe Field, you know, the Lord so blessed him. At that funeral, he never forgot it, you know. The Lord gave him that sweet prospect. There will be no night there. And you know, he never forgot it. That was set before him, you see. We know the night will come if time is the last and this day is ended, there will be a night. If you're in the sweet light and liberty today, let me tell you, poor soul, if you're spared in the earth, there'll be another day where there'll be darkness and there will be no light. But oh, when the Lord takes his dear children from this earth into glory, there will be no night there. And John had this beautiful view of it, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And then he says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. So this sweet view dear John had of what was set before the Lord's dear children and before his own soul. May we have that ever before us. You like beloved pastor used to say, you know, if we've got a real religion, there'll be a blessed prospect. The prospect of eternal joy and glory. no night there. But then the second thing I would name is this, that he declares what's written in God's holy word. And he testifies of this. I remember when the Church of England and many of the church schools tried to introduce a new version of the Bible, going away from the authorised version. The one particular school asked their class what they thought about it. And this little lad that was brought up in one of our chapels, they asked him, the teacher did, what do you think of this new version of the Bible? And he said, well, you want to read Revelations chapter 22 to the teacher. And verses 18 and 19. And that's what I think. And what is it? For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And you know, what a sacred answer. You think how solemn. May we never be permitted to add to God's word or to take anything from it. Because the solemn warning is here. There are many versions of the word of God solemnly distributed today, but there's nothing like the pure truth, and it's set forth here. But let us look at this text as how he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, John was given a gracious anointing to testify of the things that he tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life. But you see, it wasn't just John that was speaking these things, it was the Lord Jesus himself. And you think of what a wonderful testimony the Saviour left while here upon the earth. How he spoke. The Pharisees were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The gracious effect of his testimony, you think of the sermon that he preached. In the Gospels it's recorded so beautifully. Never man preached like this man, the dear Lord Jesus. The apostles Peter and James and John and others were given a wonderful anointing to testify. But you know, there was no ministry like the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He which testifieth these things. But then let us bring it home to us each. What sort of testimony have we? Can we speak like they did in some little measure What had they got to speak of? It was what the Lord had done. They got something to testify, hadn't they? They'd witnessed it. You think of the dear disciples, they'd witnessed what he had done. They were witnesses of his word being brought to fruition. They saw the miracles that he performed, and they could testify of it, couldn't they? You think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. When they got to Emmaus, they could testify of all that had taken place in that journey and how he'd communed with them and spoken to them. And the sacred words had dropped from his lips. Could we testify he's heard and answered our prayers? Can we testify that a precious Jesus is the one thing that's needful to us? Can we testify of what wretched, vile sinners we are and the need of a precious Saviour and his precious precious blood that cleanseth from all sin? He which testifieth these things. Now John could speak of it, but it was not just John, it was the Saviour himself speaking. And what does the dear Lord Jesus say here? A very searching word. Surely I come quickly. And you will observe that this was not just spoken once in this chapter. It was spoken three times. Surely I come quickly. And I would just remind you of this because of my own heart. None of us know how quickly the Lord will come to take us from this earth. The Lord's a sovereign. We're told in the hymn, aren't we, how soon he can come, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Surely I come quickly. And when you think some are taken from time into eternity in a moment, oh, they are. But are we ready for the Lord to come quickly? Surely, he says, I come quickly. And, you know, we know this is spoken particularly concerning the end of time, but it applies to every one of the Lord's dear children. He will come quickly and take their redeemed soul to glory. You know, I often may sit by the bedside of one that is being taken from this earth. But you think when we breathe our last breath, the ungodly think that's the end of everything. But you see, they don't realise their soul must return to God that gave it. And so were yours and so were mine. And where will we spend eternity? The hymn writer said, didn't he, eternity, tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accent, how divine. Surely, I come quickly. There was no doubt about it. You think with the dear dying thief upon the cross, he was there receiving the just reward for the crimes that he had done. But in those last moments of his life, how he was given life in his soul to feel his guilt and shame and wretchedness and to cry to the dear Redeemer, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And what did the Lord say to him? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a blessed exchange for that dear man, wasn't it? From all the sin and condemnation that he was under, to be freed from it all and to enter into eternal bliss in glory. I come quickly. And the Lord did to him, didn't he? And you know, and I speak this with profound reverence, when the dear Saviour laid down his precious life, it was done quickly. Oh, it was. The soldiers came to break the bones of the first and of the other, but when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. But let us bring it right home to us each in this concerns and burdens that you may carry today. Do you not have to pray, Lord, do come quickly and deliver me from this trial and this trouble and this affliction and this distress? And there are times where the Lord comes in haste, you see. What do we sing in the hymn? Make haste, O God, make haste. And you need the Lord to appear for you now, you see. And it may the Holy Spirit sweetly comfort you in this. Surely I come quickly. And when the Lord comes quickly, he will disperse all the sorrow and darkness and distress that you may be in and give you sweet light and liberty. He may come quickly and cast out the devil, and he can in a moment, you see. You know, when the Lord Jesus came to Legion to deal with his case, he cast all the legion of devils out of him into that herd of swine. And they ran down violently into a steep place of the lake and were choked. The Lord came quickly. And there were many occasions when the disciples felt they were sinking in the ship. He came quickly to them, didn't he? He didn't leave them to perish, did he? Surely I come quickly. And what did John say about this? When the Lord said, surely I come quickly, he says, amen. He confirms it, you see. He adds the amen to it. That's just what John needed. It may be with you. I come quickly. The Lord Jesus speaking. You know, when I may have told you before, but if you can read it, I think it's in Mr. Taylor, A.B. Taylor, pastor of Manchester after Mr. Gadsby. You know, three young men came into the gallery in the chapel at Manchester, and having preached in that pulpit, it's a vast gallery. And in those days, of course, the chapel was full to capacity of about 800. And these three young men came in determined to disrupt the service. And they planned that while Mr. Taylor was preaching, they would get up and make havoc. Well, the time came when they'd arranged to do this. They started to arise from their seats. And dear Mr. Taylor looked at the three and he said, "You three young men will be in eternity before next Sabbath." A profound statement, but it came from heaven. And all three were in eternity before the next Sabbath. One of them, his mother, sent for Mr. Taylor to come and pray for him. Sudden affliction had come upon him. And she sent for Mr. Taylor to come and pray for him. Others were taken, the other two, by other means. You see, none of us know. Sometimes short's the warning. I come quickly. Now, I don't know why the Lord's given me this word, but maybe I preach it to myself. I come quickly. And John says, amen. Why? Because the dear man was ready for the Lord to come quickly and take him to glory. He was ready for the Lord to come quickly and deliver him from all the sin that troubled him. You think how solemn that was. The whole chapel stood in awe. As those three men were taken into eternity. What a solemn issue. We are not the judge of their soul standing. The Lord was the judge of that. I come quickly. But I just want to look briefly at this latter part. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer today? Some of you may have sins that are weighing you down, burdened. Sometimes you feel you can't go on because of the burdens. And what is your prayer? Even so, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. Why? Come and deliver me from all this sin. Come and deliver me from all this bondage. Come and deliver me from all the sorrows of the way. Come and appear for me and make a way where there seems no way. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And you see, this is the language, these precious words, even so, come Lord Jesus, of a real seeking, longing soul. There may be one this morning say, well, I don't feel to have got hardly any religion at all. Sometimes I don't feel to have got any. But I do long to have that religion he does give to his dear people. And I long for the Lord to come quickly and quicken me into life and make me to live. I long for him to come quickly and to appear for me in all that I'm in. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And you know those of us that have been favoured with tastes of his love, his mercy, his goodness, his compassion, will want to get it, obtain it again, won't you? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Do come again. Do take away all this unbelief. Do deliver me from all this trouble. Do make bare thine arm and work. Come quickly. You see, there are many cases in the Word of God that needed the Lord Jesus to come, weren't there? The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. How they needed the Lord to come. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And he came, didn't he? And he came right in the fire with them and delivered them. The same applied with Daniel in the lion's den. The Lord came to him quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus, And the Lord came right down into that den to deliver him. Jonah in the fish's belly, the Lord came to him, didn't he? Right down there in the depths of the sea, even so, come Lord Jesus. And the more and more precious the dear Redeemer is to us, the more we shall need his visits, the more we shall need him to come. There's a good prayer, isn't it? More frequent let thy visits be, and let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, O God, make haste. And let us just tarry upon that. You know, when we cannot do anything, we need the Lord to come, don't we? We've got an old independent nature that thinks it can manage this and manage that. And you young ones may think, well, you know, we can manage this, we can deal with that, we can do something else. That's how man is by nature. The world today generally thinks he's independent from God. Solemn thing, you know. And that's how man is by nature. But you know, if we have the fear of God in our hearts, a desire to seek him and serve him, this will be our prayer. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Deliver me from all the hardness of my heart. Deliver me from all the rebelliousness there is within. Deliver me from all my pride, all my self-righteousness. Oh, do come. Going back to that beautiful hymn, what does the hymn writer say? When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside and my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. And you know, when the Lord comes, you are, aren't you? Think of the dear disciples in the upper room. There they were gathered. You know, they couldn't begin to comprehend all that had taken place, did they? Could they? And what happened? Jesus himself came in the midst. He came, even so, come Lord Jesus. And he put everything right and he says, peace be unto you. Oh, how their hearts were melted by his love, his goodness. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And then we think about it concerning our end. How many of the Lord's dear children have had to pray this prayer on their dying bed. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Free me from this earth. Take me from this veil of tears. Why? Because the soul wants to be with the dear Redeemer forever. Because he's done such great things for them. Coming into this earth, suffering, bleeding, dying, shedding his precious blood for them. And they want to be with him to crown him Lord of all in glory. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer? Is it mine? Well, the Lord knows. Solemn thing if it isn't. Blessed thing if it is. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. You see, he has all power, poor soul, to do for you all you need. And that's why you need him to come, isn't it? Because he has all power. And faith believes that if he, the Lord only were to come, he'd put everything right between your soul and the Lord in all the trials of the journey. We read, didn't we, in that seventh chapter Well, we read this. Who are these and whence came they? And what did the Lord say? These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's the sinner's hope in that precious blood, and there's their safety. Amen.